Sure, the D minor, right?
Yeah. 1-3-0.
All right.
Ready? 1-2-1-2-1-2-3.
Hi, I'm Chris McMahon. I'm a software tester, and I was probably the first user of the Water Project back in 2004 or so. I'm also a bass player, and what you're listening to is me and my friend Ryan doing the Cole Porter tune, Easy to Love.
Welcome to the Water Podcast, episode 29, recorded on the 24th of November, 2009. Water is a family of libraries for testing web applications. You can find more about them at water.com. My name is Brett Petticord. With me today is Jelko Philippin and Charlie Baker. We're here to talk to you about the new release of Water. I am the co-founder and lead developer for Water. Charlie Baker is also a lead developer, and Jelko Philippin is a community leader for the project. Jelko, would you like to tell us, the viewers, some more about yourself?
So I work as a software tester in Zagreb, Croatia. I work for a small Swiss company called W Research, and I use Water for a few years now. And Charlie?
Yeah, so my name is Charlie Baker. As Brett said, I'm also a lead developer on Water. I've been working with Water for the past several years as sometimes community manager and doing a lot of work on development and project management as well.
So, what's new in 1.6.5?
Well, we released a new version out, I guess it was a week ago or so, and this is been probably about a year's worth of bug fixes and just filling in all the little gaps that we've had where just things were missing and needed to be done. I don't know that we have had any major new features, or for that matter, serious bugs fixed, but just lots of little issues, incompatibilities between the IE and the Firefox support. And a bunch of things like that have been included in this release.
I'm just looking at the downloads number.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit surprised. Water is downloaded about 600 times so far, but Firewater is more than 1,000.
Right. I can explain that to you. So the reason why is that whenever you install Water, you automatically get Firewater installed. So when you see that there's 600 downloads for Water and 1,000 for Firewater, what that means is that you actually had 600 where people type gem install Water and 400 where people type gem install Firewater.
Yeah, that makes sense. I always thought that Water, so IE driver, is more popular. But I see
to kind of clarify, these are the stats that we've gotten from GemCutter. So RubyForge has moved over to GemCutter as far as its primary way of pushing out gems. That happened last week. So these are the numbers that have been generated from GemCutter over the past few days.
I'm looking at RubyForge stats, and Firewater has less than 100, and Water has more than 200.
Right. So those really don't mean anything because... those people who downloaded the gem off of RubyForge, and almost nobody does that. Most people install it using the gem command.
And there's no stats for that?
Not on the page you're looking at.
I thought that's it. My mistake.
No, those are downloads. Those don't include any of the gem installs. Those are the non-gem downloads. In other words, where people downloaded the gem and then installed it locally. That's what those numbers represent.
Yeah, they're pretty low.
Right. You'll see the older gems have more than the newer ones because you know, the older stuff was downloaded more, and then people stopped using the download and started using the Gem installer. And so it doesn't include any of the Gem installs on that page that you're looking at. For the viewers, we're looking at the main RubyForge page for the water project.
We'll post a link in the show notes. It took about a year to get this release out. Almost exactly a year. It was 4 days more.
Okay.
Yeah, a long time. Flew by.
You know, one of the big changes for this release hasn't been just the time and the fixes, but I don't think we've ever had as many different people contribute to this release as before. And I think that's actually one of the biggest achievements and one of the things I'm most pleased with this release. In the past year, we've migrated the project to GitHub, and GitHub has allowed us to get help from a lot more people than we did before when we were using the Subversion repository. And that's one of the things that I'm really excited about. We've been, Charlie and I and a number of other people have been having a lot of discussions lately about, you know, the next steps. And we see a lot of possibilities in terms of getting the next releases of water out. And a lot of that comes from the increased community involvement in working on these new releases.
Yari Bakken did a lot of work on this release, right?
Absolutely. Yari is probably the biggest contributor to this last release. He's a new contributor to the water project. We've added him to the core development team. He's also the lead developer of the Celerity project. I don't think you've talked to him yet in the podcast, but
no.
Celerity, for those of you who haven't heard about it, is a water API that's been wrapped onto the HTML unit driver. So essentially what it gives you, it's a Java-based solution or JRuby-based solution, which drives a browser headless. So it emulates a browser. It does not drive a browser, unlike all of the other water libraries. And because of that, it is quite a bit faster than the other ones. There occasionally it won't be able to accurately replicate the browser. So that's the drawback. But when it is able to replicate the browser it's much faster. And he's been the lead developer of that project and has been very, very instrumental in kind of helping us get water going forward and getting some of the new things that needs to be done with it.
A few days ago was also a big day for Water Project, because at that day all other sites where water forks and drivers have been hosted have been closed down, and everything is now hosted at one place. So we have a website at water.com.
Yeah, I'd like to thank, Jelka, as you know, you've been instrumental in doing that. And Alistair, of course, had a big job in getting the water.com site up in the first place. But for those of you who don't know, don't talk to Jelka on a daily basis or don't check with him. In addition to answering questions and stuff, the other thing he does is kind of bug me and all the other developers to tell us that when what we're doing doesn't make sense. And that's one of the things he's been on a lot lately is when he's seen duplication between different downloads and different things, he's saying, do we really need this? And if not, let's delete it so that the users don't get confused by seeing all these different things out there. So he's made a big effort into consolidating and simplifying the resources that are supporting all the different water family of drivers. So I want to acknowledge you, Jelko, for that.
Thanks. I'm blushing. So we have everything in the same place right now. And just the other day, I was so constantly bugging Angris to check out if I moved everything from Firewater to our new home, and he said, yeah, everything's fine. And so I closed it at Google Code. So that was the last thing, the first fork we had and the last that came back home. We didn't hear Charlie a lot. So Charlie, you released the version, right?
That's right. So for this release, I played kind of like a release manager. And I also integrated a bunch of fixes from various people. So as we moved over to GitHub, we were lucky enough to actually receive GitHub fork requests. there's a lot of maintenance there as far as, you know, our current code base and GitHub, integrating some of the fixes and evaluating whether that makes sense for the current water API. So I've spent a lot of time doing that for the current release. And we're lucky enough to have now fork requests versus receiving kind of patches and different things through a variety of other methods in the past with Subversion. So for this release, I made a couple of changes and integrated some of the fork requests, and then finally pushed it down, made some gem releases, and released those as RC candidates, soliciting feedback, and moving towards a final release of Water 1.6.5.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, I really appreciated Charlie's help with this release. I asked him to be the release manager for this. I think, is this the first one that you've done it for, Charlie?
I've done it once or twice in the past. I think on 1.5.6 or a couple of the 1.5 releases, I did that. But it certainly has been a little while.
It's been a while, and it was a big help to have him take care of that and taking care of kind of the day of the day, getting the new releases out and all. We have more and more people. That was one of the hard things that he had to deal with, was now that it's so easy and we're getting so many people get contributions. We had a lot of people saying, "Hey, I've got one more thing. Wait, there's one more thing." And you know, eventually he just said, "Well, look, you know, the train has got to leave the station." And so I appreciated him being willing to do that and get things out. And of course, we do have additional releases being planned for the future.
So one of the interesting things in this release, aside from our move from GitHub, in 1.6.2, that was our first release where we actually integrated Firewater. So we do get a lot of requests for pulls from people kind of forking off Firewater. We want to make sure that they're also adding those same features to our regular IE water, so that we share the same features between the two releases. So this release to me is probably one of the biggest changes, is we're looking at making sure that every browser that's supported has the same feature set. And certainly we've gotten a lot of requests from people working on Firewater and not necessarily interested in IE water. And that's maybe been true of kind of a development community mentality using Firewater. But it certainly has pushed a lot of impetus towards working on water in one respect or another.
You said you merged Firewater with Water, so installing Water will install Firewater also, so Firefox driver. Do you plan for the future releases to merge more gems in or to separate Firewater out?
We made that change with 1.6.2 a year ago. We started including, since then, anyone who's installed Water, when they do a gem install Water on the Windows platform, it installs both the IE Water and the Firewater code, so they get both of those on there. In the future, I have ideas on what we're going to do in the future. We haven't really discussed it in a lot of detail, so I don't know how much we're ready to announce. I can say some ideas I have, but I want to counter them that these are, you know, Water is run as a community project, and so I can't make an announcement until we've had discussion with the other, with the other core developers on the team, and that hasn't happened yet on this topic. So that's why I'm happy to share my ideas, but I don't want people to be confused to think that these are the direction that the whole project's going to go in.
So you're talking like Brett right now, not as a project lead.
Right. I mean, that's you know, as much a change in how Water is being run as anything, as I've been trying to work through a community process, largely because the biggest challenge Water faces right now, as Charlie said earlier, is keeping these different versions in sync and keeping a common API. And that means that we can't just have people say, "Hey, this is a great idea, I'm going to add it to my version." Because if each of us goes off and does that, we're not going to be able to have compatible tools. There's, you know, the cross compatibility is, I think, more and more something that people are looking for in Water. And so we need to run the project to run that way. So in my view, you know, right now when you install, what I would like to do is make it so that we have a separate IE water gem that's separate from, and then the water gem would just be a container gem. So I don't know if we'll do this with 1.7 or later. And like I said, I haven't really discussed this, but that's what I would like to do, so that when you install water on a platform, you get the supported versions on your platform, the support that the team is supporting. And, you know, right now we have those two. There's, like I said, Celerity is also very much on par in terms of the API that it supports with both FireWater and IE Water. There is the Safari Water, which is a subset of that. And, you know, as we keep working with these, now there's another big project happening right now, which I'm probably not the best person to talk to, about Water 2.0 and about building a new version of Water based on the WebDriver technology. And that will support multiple browsers, all 4, 5, 6, 7 browsers. And so that's something else that's being worked on, but how that's going to get packaged and how that will get delivered hasn't been decided yet.
I was just thinking about, probably similar to your idea, drivers should be separately installed and there would be like one umbrella gem that would just tie them all.
Do you like that idea?
Yeah, I like it. Okay. I think that the core product should be as small as possible, so say water gem or common water or whatever the name is chosen, should be just code that's common to the all drivers, and then you can say or get automatically, however it's done, all the drivers. So if you're on Mac, you get Safari and Firefox. If you're on Windows, you get Firefox and Internet Explorer and so on. Is there any news on Water 2.0 that we can share?
Well, that's what I was talking about. So, you know, I don't know if there's news. I mean, there certainly is active development being worked on it now, and we've been in good communication about it. And like I just said, you know, we're working on, and I think Yari and I guess he's doing a lot of the work. He's working with Simon Stewart. Who else is working with them, Charlie?
So we actually do have a wave about some of the roadmap for water currently. I kind of pushed the idea through Yari and a couple of other people ways back to start. Sai as well, Sai Venkat, who's also a great contribution to the water community, and he's written Chrome Water and had extensive involvement with some of the other water tools. So I've been working with those guys and suggested we should tap into WebDriver. WebDriver itself has a very interesting model, mostly Java-driven. It's a Google-sponsored project through Simon Stewart, who works for Google. So we're starting to get pretty in touch with that project and putting Ruby bindings, which is the first thing, that they probably want to make us responsible for attending to the Ruby bindings on how to attach to WebDriver, and then putting a water API on top of that to simplify it versus the Selenium API, which is honestly to me slightly more complex. So I think that's where we stand right now. We're certainly making changes, and there's a lot of development. Fortunately, given GitHub and given the ability to like fork off different branches pretty simply, we're actually pushing towards Water 2.0 while we're pushing towards, you know, some simple changes to Water as it currently exists for 1.7.
Also, Dennis from Opera is involved in that, right?
That's right. So, Dennis, we talked to at OTA, and Opera actually presented a couple of things about OpWater at OTA. So it's been spotty communication between them and us. But we'd certainly like to talk more to the Opera people as well and find out what they're doing.
If Opera was supported, then we'd have all major browsers, right?
I believe there's a top three or four right now. So there's Opera, obviously IE, which Water started out with, FireWater, and Firefox. And then the ability to do like Chrome, Water, and Chrome OS. So the interesting thing about Chrome OS is that it actually runs on a browser. So we could potentially test Chrome OS with Water.
That would be great. But I guess Google would use Selenium. I think I saw a blog post about that.
They're currently using either Selenium or a combination of Selenium and WebDriver. Certainly no reason why we couldn't actually tap into that as well.
Sounds interesting. One of the projects that Yari started was WaterSpec. Would somebody want to say a few words about that?
Well, WaterSpec is a test suite to validate a browser's conformance with the Water API. So, and it's one of the tools that we're using right now to improve the cross compatibility of the different different Water drivers.
Do we have any numbers right now?
I don't have any on me. Yari probably has those numbers for you. I think he's tracking
them. Yeah, we don't have a SAS right now. I mean, the interesting thing about WaterSpec is it, and he's focusing on like most of the projects we're doing and creating kind of basic spec for it. Interesting thing about that to me is that it seems to mirror RubySpec. So RubySpec is a kind of like, how does Ruby certify across various implementations? So I think we're running across the same kind of boundaries. And now we have WaterSpec, which is very similar to RubySpec. Water, to me, has always been about the API. Ruby is obviously very much about the API and how it works. So the interesting thing to me is that he's kind of like mapping that concept onto Water.
WaterSpec is a great idea. I think it'll be really useful. We were talking about Celerity before in the podcast. I just wanted to ask the two of you, while I was trying to merge all projects at water.com, all water-related projects, do you think of Celerity as a part of the Water project?
I definitely see it as... So to me, what we have right now, we have these different drivers, let's call them, and right now we have more or less each driver is for a different browser. Now, Celerity isn't that. It's not a separate browser. In fact, it's no browser. It works without a browser, which is the whole point of it. But I do see it in the same category because you can run water tests using Celerity, and that's kind of the point with things.
It's a bit different because all other drivers run on C Ruby or in major implementation of Ruby, and Celerity runs on JRuby in Java Virtual Machine.
That's so right. It is different, you know, and so, but, you know, the FireWater, as far as I know, I haven't done it myself, but as far as I know, it also works with JRuby.
I think Sai has a patch for that, but I don't think we support it.
Okay. Well, I know it's close to being there.
FireWater actually does work with JRuby. The challenge with the Windows implementation is that we depend on a lot of external C libraries. One thing that might be interesting, and I'm not sure if this might happen or if we just get this as far as the Water 2.0 release, is switching some of our C library implementation into FFI, which works with MRI and JRuby as well.
What did you just say? FFI?
FFI, which is a foreign function integration or interface. So we have some libraries that actually are kind of crufty and old that work with Win32LA stuff. So we have WinClicker and some other things. Those could potentially be ported over.
Yeah. But the whole, all of our dependence on Win32 process, right? That's all ties us to MRI.
It does. Yeah, absolutely. But that's also one potential way to move away. It's possible that Daniel could move towards FFI as well. And the FFI libraries actually support MRI and JRuby. But whether we want to go down that route or before the 2.0 release with integration with WebDriver or not, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, does it make sense to do a lot of work when there's a plan to use completely different technology in the future?
I think so. I mean, just because there's a plan to completely use a whole new technology in the future doesn't mean it's going to happen quickly. So, I think it's debatable whether we use this FFI technology, but I wouldn't say, well, because we're going to do this whole other thing, we should never even think about it.
Is there any estimate when Water 2 will be released in any form, alpha, beta?
I can make a guess. I mean, you have to realize this is 100% volunteer, right?
Yeah.
So my guess is it's going to be a year. I mean, you said alpha. I mean, right now it's an alpha, right? Or, I mean, they have code bases that they're playing. It's an experimental form. I mean, there's code that's available. But it's not – I mean, I don't know what you mean by alpha or by beta, but I don't think that we can seriously consider – you know, people running stuff that's running on Water today under this new code base for at least a year, probably longer. That's my guess.
Yeah, I was just thinking, so they have a gem that you can install and run, but everything doesn't work. So something like that. Yeah, so.
I mean, I think they have code that runs some portion of the test suite today, right?
Yeah, I've played with something a bit. I remember I could start the browser and navigate and stuff like that. So it is working, but I don't know how much stuff is working. But never mind.
There's a lot of pieces to the Water API. This is something that we see more and more as we, and there's the official pieces and there's the unofficial pieces and there's all the little hacks. One of the things that I see is that people have made all these little private modifications to the Water. It's very easy to monkey patch Ruby, and people have done a lot of that. And so that's one of the things that's just going to make it slow to get a whole new technology out there and to get it attached. And there's no reason, I mean, just because there's going to be a new driver that's going to support IE doesn't mean that no one's going to want to use the old driver anymore. So, it's going to take a long time for it to get to a point where everyone prefers the new one to the old one. There'll be a period of coexistence between the new technology and the old technology where people will slowly, be evaluating each one, and there'll be a migration and there'll be that kind of thing happening.
Yeah, so yeah. We'll see. Go ahead.
Sorry, absolutely. We constantly get mails on the list from people using Water 1.5, 1.4, various like previous versions that have been around that are probably dated back to, 1, 2, 3 years back. So people are still sticking with kind of their standard and what they started out with and afraid to upgrade don't want to pay the price to actually upgrade to these things. The difference between like 1.6.2 and 1.6.5, it should be a fairly seamless upgrade. So 1.6.2 to 1.6.5 should add a lot of functionality and a lot of additional features and bug fixes, but not have too much in the way of actual upgrade pain.
I wanted to ask about Celerity, something related to my involvement with Water. Do you think it would be a good idea to also merge Celerity sites and bug trackers and stuff with ours, or should it just be where it is right now?
It's fine with me. I don't have a strong preference on that.
Yeah, because I also look at Celerity just like another driver. So it doesn't drive a browser, but it can run your tests. I'll talk with them and see. I just wanted to ask if the two of you have any preference one or the other way.
I mean, I think as we move to Water 2.0, it certainly makes sense to kind of pull in the .NET implementation, so Watin. There's
a Java one, too.
There's a Java one. I don't think it's under active development, and we haven't spoken with them very much.
Yeah, I tried to get them on the podcast, and they said they will, but at one time they just stopped answering my emails, and I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think they started out with good intentions, but ran into a lot of problems. I would certainly love to pull in Celerity into kind of the same family of drivers, and my guess is Yari would be good with working together as a team, and he's certainly gone back and forth between Celerity and adding features to Water and Firewater and additional browsers. So we certainly want to like pull these things back and have kind of a common site as well as a common API.
Makes sense. That was the next question on my list. Should we try to merge Watin and Wattage, the .NET and Java versions of Water back?
But well, yeah, I mean, I don't know what we mean by the issue I have with them is there's no way to make them pass the Water spec.
Really? Oh, they have a totally different API, right?
Because the API, yeah. They do not. So we have the Water spec and we have the Water unit tests. And, right, these are both two different ways of testing the API. We can run both the Water unit tests and Water spec against multiple Water drivers. And we can validate to what degree they meet this, you know, this specification of the Water API. And we can run, like you say, all these different browser drivers that we have. We can run Celerity just as well. That's why, you know, it's part of it. Celerity runs the Water spec. But you can't, Watin is I mean, it's in the wrong language. Watin is .NET, and I don't think we can run the Water spec from within Watin. And my understanding of their API is that they've had to change the API in a fairly significant ways in order to make it work within the .NET environment. So it's a different kind of thing. Now, when you say should we merge or should we join, or I mean, we talk to them, we share ideas, and we can share code and techniques, and we do that. But you know, I just don't want users to be confused in the thinking that you can, you know, what we're talking about are technologies that we're trying to make interchangeable for the Water users. So we're trying to say if you're using, you know, Water with these, you know, few small changes, you can now use Firewater, or you can use Celerity, or you can use one of these other technologies that this community of people is developing, and we're trying to provide that interconnectivity to our user base. I'm not sure that we can do that with the Watin users.
Makes sense, but they could make .NET version of Water spec and run that and say, like, we are 90% compatible with the Water API or something like that.
I assume that's what they did. I mean, I assume that's what they did from the beginning. I mean, that's... Yeah, I mean, you can, and you can say you're 90%, but it's kind of, I don't know what the right analogy is, but yeah. It's like saying somebody is proficient in English, but they don't actually speak English, they're speaking Croatian. Yeah. Well, and we can say, well, we translated the English test into Croatian, and then we gave it to them, and so it's like, it's just a different language. So there's a lot of it has to do with the difference between strong typing and weak typing. I mean, this is... Water was designed from the beginning around Ruby, and that was what it was. It was saying that Ruby gives us the ability to be very expressive in how we describe an interaction with an application under test and with a web form and a web browser. And so we pushed the language to use that full expressivity of Ruby. So there's things that we can do, and there's expressions that we can do which are much more complicated and much more verbose with Watin. I think the Watin project's a good project, but they're working in a strongly typed language environment, and we're working so it's a different type of thing, and there's a lot of extra, you know, line noise that you have to put in your Watin tests in order to make it pass the C# compiler, because the C# compiler just has a lot more stringent constraints on what code has to look like than what Ruby has.
Your sentence Watin is in the wrong language. That's definitely Twitter material. Can I quote you on that?
Oh, well, I guess so. This is anybody can quote me on this. Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to slam them hard or trying to say that they've done something wrong, and I certainly understand the appeal that they have, where people, you know, for people who are in that environment and they want a tool that works in that environment, I think Watin's a great choice. The choice that I made with Water, that one of the reasons that I pushed it was, and we've had this kind of back and forth with Selenium, because Selenium, its core concept has been, we're going to make an API that works in any language. And they've done that. And so it's a least common denominator API, and it's an API that doesn't use any special facilities from any language that it works in. And therefore, it's kind of clumsy in most of them. And that's been a core difference in philosophy between Selenium and Water, is that Water has said, we live in Ruby, and if you're not in Ruby, then Water's not going to work for you. But if you are, it's going to work really well.
Makes a lot of sense. Have we done with the 1.6.5?
I can try to summarize what I think we've said. It's gone out there. There's a lot of small features in it and updates. We think people are going to like it. We think it fixes many of the problems that people have been complaining about. A lot of people have upgraded to it, and as far as I know right now, we've only heard two problems. We had one person who wanted to back out because we added the visible method didn't work for them the way they wanted it to. And then we've also had one or two reports of the Chinese language support not working, which is something we're trying to get some more information and understand. Other than that, we don't know of any other issues with it. If we track down either of those issues, we'll issue a patch release out of 1.6.6 that will fix that. The other thing that we want to do is we have seen a couple issues. There's one issue with installing 1.6.2 after you have 1.6.5 installed. So we'll be issuing an update to 1.6.2. We'll have a new installer to fix that problem, to make it easier for people to roll forward and roll back. So I think that's pretty much where we stand with the 1.6.5. We've had a lot of discussions about 1.7, which is the next release that we're planning. Right now, I'm thinking it's probably going to be sometime in the spring that it'll come out. And we've got some ideas for new features we want to put in there, as well as start making some structural changes in terms of getting ready for Water 2.0.
I have a big test suite, and I've switched to 1.6.5 and had absolutely no problems, so I'm pretty confident that it works.
Yeah, we get a lot of mileage out of the just having all the unit tests that we have and the test suites. That's been able to help keep us from breaking too many things.
Brett, do you have any plans for next Austin workshop on test automation?
At this point, I don't. I've been talking to people about it, and I've had trouble setting dates and figuring out when to do. So right now I don't have a date set for that.
But you plan to host one?
Someday, yes.
Someday, like next year, or someday just?
I don't have a date set right now. I don't have a date set for it. So,
okay.
I don't know. We have been thinking about doing it in, in January next year, and it's pretty much too late to do that at this point. I haven't been able to find a date and haven't been able to work it out, so it won't be happening then. I don't know when it will be happening, but it will surely be after that.
What's the plan for Water 1.7?
Well, I'm working on that. We've been talking about it, and we've got a bunch of notes. We have cookie support is one thing that a lot of people have been asking about. It looks like we're going to get a version of pop-up support, which I know has been the number one most requested feature in there. We're going to have support for the elements method. So this is so that you can reference it, an element on a page without having to know what class it is. So I think those are all pretty definite in there in terms of what we'll have in 1.7. What else, Charlie?
I think that's the majority of what we're planning for that. Closer integration between the browsers would be helpful. So hopefully, like, anything that's implemented in IE and not implemented in FireWire or vice versa should be kind of ironed out. So we'll certainly take a look at, you know, what features do we need to make it a lot more cross-compatible. That's certainly going to be a big issue going forward from now on.
Pop support would be, I don't have words for that. So if we get some decent pop-up support, I think that
And just to be clear, what I see us doing right now is doing support for alerts. One of the problems is that there's about seven different type of pop-ups, and so people say, do you have pop-up support? And, you know, unfortunately, you can only implement it one type at a time. So we have support for web for show modal dialogues. We've had that for a long time in Water. That's one type of pop-up. And what we're looking at right now is to add support for the alert style and the authentication pop-ups. So there's still plenty of other pop-ups that I don't know when we'll get to support them. But we have, and it also comes in that it's forcing us to come to a common solution, because even with IE, we've had so many, you know, ad hoc solutions. And unfortunately, the ad hoc solutions are both ugly in their own right, but they also, they don't port. That's another reason why that's a problem.
Right. I think another problem with that area is just the terminology. So we've gotten kind of like locked down. The way we support modal dialogues, we actually have a call called modal dialogue, and it's very specific to IE. Although I finally just realized, given a product that I have now, Firefox actually supports show modal dialogue as well.
It does?
It does.
It didn't used to. They must have added that.
Yeah, exactly right. So I just found that out. So there's a big contention between, like, oh, okay, is this modal dialogue? Is this modal dialogue has a whole different terminology in, like, basic working with operating systems. Modal dialogue is anything that kind of, like, takes focus and doesn't allow you focus on other parts of your app. So it's a matter of, like, kind of refining some of the calls to the dialogues and cleaning up a lot of that stuff.
We have 11 pop-ups listed.
We
so
do.
Far.
So we have. I mean, so we have a lot of solutions. And somebody actually, I think, just sent today or yesterday to the list. I've gone through all the modal dialogue suggestions because we have many suggestions as to how to deal with dialogues. And it's confusing to people. They don't know whether they're dealing with like a true show modal dialogue, which is actually a method being used by IE and now by Firefox. Is it that kind of modal dialogue? Is it a JavaScript modal dialogue? Is it a authentication dialogue? So it's certainly an area that we need to clean up a bit. And come to some sort of like common. We need to actually have a common lexicon for dealing with various dialogues that translates what's written in code versus what people actually recognize as dialogues, you know, whether it be modal, JavaScript, whatever else. We need to have like kind of a common speech to deal with that.
Yeah, and I see people confused about those div pop-ups that are not really pop-ups, but just a div that grids right. out all the text. So, and those are really easy to work with, but people get really confused.
Yeah, I mean, they are pop-ups. I mean, that's part of the problem that we're talking about, is that it's not that some people are using the terminology correctly and other people aren't. It's that there's not really any terminology that anybody can use to make these distinguishing. What you're talking about, like some people call those light boxes, right? But it's not wrong to call it a pop-up, but you're right. It's easy to deal with because it's inside the browser.
Yeah, it's just HTML. You can work with it with water. Like
you can. And there's a set of techniques you have to use with them as well. And you typically have to put your wait logic when you handle them. And so you need to do some wait intils both before and after they appear. So it's not trivial to deal with them, but it's easier than with the other type of pop-ups.
I've worked with just a few of those div pop-ups, and I didn't have to do nothing special. Just click a button here, there, and everything.
And it depends on the actual case.
I saw a lot of talk about changing the syntax for water too. You said you'd like that hash syntax, but I think you've backed up. You said, Brett, you proposed to use only hash syntax in Water 2, but after...
Well, I'm pushing people to start using that more. When and how we'll be able to deprecate some of the old stuff, I don't think we're there yet. I was convinced. No one else was interested. I thought it would make it easier for people to do the ports and the other things to do that, but there was a lack of interest in it, so... I lost that battle.
I thought it was a good idea, especially for Water 2. That would be really from a fresh start, so we have a chance to change a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing with Water 2.0 is it's going to be kind of like a big cut. So there's going to be a big cut in API, and it's how do we want to redesign some of the API features. So that to me is probably going to be the biggest change that people experience, along with the backing end with driver manipulation and whatnot. There are going to be some major API shifts, and that's something that certainly people will have to kind of watch out for or be ready to deal with, and we'll try to make that process as easy as possible. But it's come time to actually change some ways that water works in things like one indexing, which is a major shift, right?
That's probably the biggest thing that we want to do, right?
Absolutely.
To change it. Right now, water uses a one index, and it makes things easy for about an hour, and then they start running into Ruby, which uses a zero index, and then people are endlessly confused. So we want to change that.
I was just going to ask about that. I think it would be a good change to use that zero-based indexing, especially since Ruby uses it.
Right, and so the reality is what we're going to have to do is make that configurable. I mean, I've thought about this a lot. We've been talking about this a lot. And the problem is everyone has, if nothing else, I mean, I have all kinds of code that says pick such and such index one, right? And so I've got all that code. I at least have to conditionalize or something. And so what people are going to want to do when we first put the zero indexing in is you're going to have to be able to turn it on or off. So what's going to happen is we'll have it as a feature. By default, it will be off, or by default, it will be on one. And then at some point, we'll change the default in water. But at both points, it's going to be configurable. It's the reality is it's the only way to roll something like that out to the user base.
One of the things that happened recently was that Paul Rogers, co-founder with Brand mm-hmm. of Water, said he thinks water just had its fifth birthday, but... When I talked to you, Brett, on way or somewhere you said you're not so sure about the date, so I got really confused.
So I think I was doing some, so yeah, that came out, and let me tell you what I looked at. Water 1.0 was released in January of 2004, okay? And then Water 1.4, which was the main version of Water for several years, was released in May of, I think it was May of 2004. So those were to me were two big dates. He said something about how he and I taught a couple of classes around that time. We taught one in May where we used Water at the STAR conference, and then we taught another one in November at the STAR conference. And I think he remembered that the November conference was the first time that we had taught Water to class, but I think we did it in the May one.
So it's a bit older than 5 years. But you said the first version of Water was even earlier, so in a month?
It was January 2004. I mean, this is all on RubyForge. You can just look and see what the dates are for when the files were uploaded.
Yeah, I was looking at it, and I really got lost. You were saying about these lectures and Paul, and I was thinking, isn't it important when the gem was released? It would be 6 years in a month since its first release.
No, yeah, of course, the first version of Water was not a gem. The gem technology had not been invented yet at that point, so it was just a zip file that you hand install. And in fact, 1.4.1, I think it was 1.3 or 1.4, was the first version that actually had a GUI installer. And that was one of the reasons why it became so popular, as it was very easy to install. You just clicked on something and you installed it for you. That was an installer that Paul wrote, and and I think later we installed a gem version of 1.4 that was significantly later than the initial release of 1.4.
Yeah, I still remember.
Yeah, the date. So what happened is we started work on Water the previous summer. I think it was in August that Paul and I sat down of 2003. And I was up in Calgary. We were teaching a class together based on some of the predecessors of Water. I mean, this is what's hard to pick these dates. I mean, Water was just one out. Just, you know, how right now Water is a family of different projects? Well, back then, what we called Water was actually one of a family of projects called web testing in Ruby. And we had been using an earlier version of something in the web testing Ruby called the IE controller that was developed by Chris Morris. And we met in August of 2003. We've been using that for a couple of years. And then we said, let's start over again. Let's build something. Let's do it with test-driven development. Let's build a testing framework so we'll have unit tests. And let's make the API different and something that's kind of more intuitive based on the training that we had done and that I had done with so many of the different testers with the previous technology. So it was based on that experience and that code base that we started the Water project in summer 2003. And Paul did most of the work of that implementation. I think he was on a paternity leave due to the generous health benefits that the Canadian government has for new parents. So he worked on that. And that winter, I think Danny Faust started looking at some of the different tools and thought that what we had, he pulled our code out of Subversion and built it himself. No, out of CVS. We were using CVS back then. And liked it, thought it was better than SAMe. And so I told Paul I thought we should release it. And I think he didn't think it was ready yet. But anyway, we got something out in January, and then we kept working on it all spring until we got the 1.4 release out then in May.
We should really have a one of History of Water podcast with all...
Yeah, it's hard to pick one day and say that's the day when it was born, because it was just, you know, a whole series of different events and different people and different things that had been happening for a while.
It's really interesting to me to hear that all history. I was involved in Water Project early on, but not that early on. Do you have anything to close the show?
Yeah, thanks for talking to us, and I hope people get a chance to use 1.6.5, and hope they like it.
Charlie, any
Same thing. So we're moving on, and we've got a whole bunch of action. Please report bugs. Please, you know, download our current release, 1.6.5. Test it against what you're running currently, and tell us if you have bugs. We do have a couple of areas that we'd like to have people involved with. So anyone with, like, you know, Chinese, Japanese characters, that'd be a great way to get involved. Otherwise, like, community involvement, we're looking for, like, involvement in all sources. And then we have the 2.0 release that we're kind of actively working on in the background.
At water.com, there's a big button that says donate, and if you click it, you can donate some money to the Water Project, and we'll use it with respect. If you don't have the time to work on water but would like to contribute, you can always donate some money. My site is jelkofilippin.com. I'm Jelko Filippin at Twitter. Brett, your site and Twitter?
Oh, I guess it's at petacord.com. I don't have much on there anymore. And you can follow me on Twitter at bpetacord.
And Charlie?
You can follow me at charlie_baker at Twitter. And then I have a website as well that I'm trying to start up again.
It's not as sad as in the last show, right?
I made a little bit of effort. Thanks.
You can always post a blog post that you were on a podcast, and I would appreciate it. Some traffic would be good.
Definitely will.
Thank you for listening to the Water Podcast. You can leave a comment at waterpodcast.com. The podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribute 3.0 Croatia license. All links in the episode are in show notes. Thank you.
And thank you, Charlie, and you, Brett, for talking with me, and I hope we'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.